This is Jean McMillan interviewing Brian Bartram at the Town Hall in Salisbury, Connecticut. Brian is going to talk as manager of the Salisbury Sharon Transfer Station. The date is July 26th, 2012. Brian, what's your full name?
Brian Douglas Bartram.
And what is your birth date?
3/24/1969.
And your birthplace?
Well, the actual birthplace was Sharon Hospital, but we were living in Lakeville at the time.
And your parents' names?
John and Elizabeth, commonly known as Ann Bartram.
Do you have siblings?
One sister, Amy.
And basically, what's your education?
I attended Salisbury Central School, went on to Salisbury School for high school, and University of Connecticut out in Storrs, graduated in 1994 with a bachelor's in Bachelor of Arts in Sociology.
How did you get the job as manager of the transfer station?
Back in February, I think, of 2007 it was, the job was advertised. The previous manager was retiring in June or July, so they wanted to hire somebody so that there would be a 6-8 week transition period. So I applied for the position.
And obviously you got it.
Fortunately, I did receive the position.
Who did you take over from?
Larry Beck.
And tell me, please, how many is on your staff?
Including me, there are 4 full-time people, and we have 3 part-time people.
And basically, what are the different types of trash that you collect?
Obviously, we collect garbage, regular household garbage, for recycle, and then also just things that are disposed of, construction and demolition material, and bulky items such as your mattresses and sofas. Then for recycling, we take your bottles and cans, your paper and cardboard, leaves, batteries, electronics, clothes, scrap metal, books.
Does it all go to the same location, or does it go to various recycling centers?
A majority of the material currently goes to the Connecticut Resources Recovery Authority. That would be the bottles and cans, paper and cardboard, as well as the garbage. Each of the other items go to separate vendors.
And the recyclables, how does this profit the town?
The biggest profit immediately is that you are not throwing it in the garbage hopper where we're being charged $69 per ton to throw it out. Additionally, some of the materials can be sold. So not only do you avoid the disposal cost, but you also earn revenue for the transfer station fund by selling that material.
Wonderful. And the more we recycle, the more money the town gets back.
Yes.
Basically.
Yes.
Is there anything that's not accepted at the Salisbury Sharon Transfer Station?
Medical wastes, any sort of a hazardous waste, asbestos or mercury or things like that are not accepted.
What's the progress of the future transfer station? Are we in the building stage? Are we in the planning stage?
We're still in the planning stage. The Salisbury-Sharon Resources Recovery Authority, who owns the property for the new transfer station, they formed a building committee about a year ago. The building committee has interviewed engineering firms, and they're down to a short list of 3 possible candidates for that position.
Do you remember going up to Bunker Hill before the transfer station was built?
The only thing I remember about Bunker Hill is driving up there. I think it was probably with my grandfather, my mom's dad, and there were peacocks up by the entrance where he drove in. That's about all I remember of it.
Yeah, that's a good thing to remember. That's a good thing to remember. Now that we have the transfer station, and you've been manager for about 4 years, has anything changed? 5 years?
5 years.
5 years. Has anything changed radically in your interim?
No.
What plans do you have for the future for either upgrading the recycling or making things more efficient?
One of the things that has been done the last 2 years is that I've sold the copper wire. So when you go to throw your, whatever it is, your coffee maker into the garbage, if I can get to you before you do that, I'll clip that copper wire off of it. For this past year, fiscal year 11-12, there was a total of 966 pounds of wire.
Oh, my.
That's been collected. And it was sold, so the transfer station made $1,402.93.
Excellent.
So some of that would have gone in the metal box if it were, you know, say on a dishwasher or some other thing that was going into the metal box, where we averaged about 11 cents a pound for the scrap metal. But if it had gone into the garbage, we would have been paying almost 3.5 cents to get rid of it. So instead, on average, it was $1.41 is what the copper wire brought in.
Wonderful.
The other thing that I did last July, actually the end of June of 11, we had a company come in that collects books. And over fiscal year 11-12, we collected just over 20 tons of books, for which they're paying the town $60 a ton. So it's about $1,200, basically in found money.
20 tons of books. Now, are these good books? Are they foxed? Are they damaged?
There should be books that are in usable condition. They should not be moldy. They should not be torn apart. Again, I encourage people to, you know, put the books into the swap shop first and let the local residents have a chance to get them. And then, obviously, we only have so much storage area in the swap shop for books, and then we put them into the book container.
I see. All right. Are there any, I'm going to use the word problems, but are there any situations that you would like to improve or eradicate from the transfer station?
Certainly, the new facility, everything should be covered to keep the water weight from every time it rains. If you have a mattress in the demolition box, obviously that's going to retain water. And since you pay for those items based on the weight, you're paying more because they're wet.
Sure. Okay. Anything else that you'd envision for the new transfer station, other than it being covered?
Everything needs to be paved. Hopefully there would be a limited amount of backing up to help prevent accidents and make it safer for the residents. The new facility, the commercial garbage should be coming into a separate area, again, so that you don't have the potential for a garbage truck or whatever, a large vehicle, to back over a person.
That would be a good safety feature.
Absolutely.
Anything that I haven't asked you about the transfer station that you would like to add to this?
The thought, nothing has been decided yet. In the last 5 years, I've been going up and doing a lot of research on designs of new transfer stations and the way that materials are handled. And one of the things that I found quite interesting in my trips to southern New Hampshire and Vermont and Massachusetts, many of the communities will actually have the residents separate out the recycled materials by item. So in other words, some transfer stations, you would put your aluminum cans in one bin, your tin cans in another, your plastic water bottles in another, and so on down the line. What they then do is they bale them up, just like you're making a bale of hay, mm-hmm. Except that you're making a bale of recycling, which you then market once you get a full tractor-trailer load of that material, or if you market it through another co-op or something like that where they can join you up with another community that has a half of a load, and you can sell it on the market that way. What you're doing there is, there is more cost, obviously, to bale that material up. However, what you're saving is you're saving on the driving, because when it's baled up and you have a trailer load, whoever's purchasing it from you will pay for the trucking, and they will have a large truck, 53-foot truck, come and pick it up. You're also making revenue on that commodity. The cleaner it is and the closer to a truckload, the better the prices that you're going to get. And when markets are in in turmoil or when the markets are down, the cleaner your material, the better chance you have to move it, even if you're not going to make money on it. But instead of having a vendor say that they can't take it because they can't move it, if they know that you have clean material, somebody will always take it from you.
Now, all of these recyclables are in tons, but when we talked the last time, you said that there was something that was in a gross ton. What is a gross ton, and what material is measured or weighed in gross tons?
The scrap metal, which a lot of times is considered light iron, in terms of the designation of what it is that we're delivering to the scrap yard. Traditionally, metal yards all over the place that are dealing with ferrous, meaning iron, scrap, do it in gross tons, which is 2,240 pounds, instead of the traditional net ton, which is 2,000 pounds.
So it's 12%
higher. 12%
higher. I paid attention. You also told me about a governor's panel that you're on. What is that specifically?
In April, I was appointed by Governor Malloy to the Governor's Modernizing Recycling Working Group, which meets out at Connecticut Department of Environment and Energy's headquarters out in Hartford. We're meeting about twice a month, and of course I don't have the charge in front of me here, but we were charged with three different things to try to save the municipalities and the residents of Connecticut money, to try to extract value out of the waste stream, to help increase the markets in Connecticut, which of course would hopefully create jobs and get the economy going and that thing within Connecticut.
And I think that you said in the whole state there's only 15 on the panel.
I think they've increased it. I think it ended up being 17, and some of those people are from different departments in the state as well, economic development and several others.
And have you already met once?
We have. We've met April. From June, I think. Yeah, I don't remember how many times it is. It's been about 8 times that we've met.
Any progress?
There is progress. Our report is due to the governor by December 1st, and we're plugging away at it.
Terrific. Now, I know that you have other civic activities in the town. What else do you do besides run the transfer station?
I'm currently a driver for the Salisbury Volunteer Ambulance Service. I started doing that almost 2 years ago when I was just a wee kid of 17. When I was a senior in high school, I did take the emergency medical technician class. I became an EMT back when I turned 18. And I was an EMT for 6 years. Actually, I was an EMT for 2 years, and then I received my EMT intermediate certificate for 4 years. And I was on the Salisbury Volunteer Ambulance Service back then. Most of that time I was out at the University of Connecticut, but I was home most weekends. So I would cover the town when I was back home. And then I started chasing after my wife. So I wasn't home as often, and
you got a good one.
And I got a good one. So then I kind of let that all slip, and with the kids, wasn't really able to be able to devote any time to the ambulance because, you couldn't just leave the kids home alone. Now that they're 13 and 11, it's okay to disappear for an hour or two.
Carefully.
Carefully. They're good kids.
I know they are. And you're also on the school board, aren't you?
I'm also on the school board. Back in October, November of 2004, I was appointed by the Board of Ed to fill the remainder of Dr. Gordy Johnson's seat on the board. I was then elected in November of 2005 and re-elected in November of 2009. I believe it was from 2007 through 2011, I was the secretary of the board. And in November of 2011, I was appointed or elected by the board members to be the chairman.
Great. Anything else that you'd like to add to this? Either civic responsibility, the transfer station, life in general?
No, Salisbury's a nice place to live.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Brian.